How are you, bud?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Rex Burkhead back in the lineup for the Pats today. What's he bring that they don't have currently?
He is one of those matchup types of guys. You know, you take advantage of matchup advantages, the things that Josh McDaniels loves to do. I mean, I've said it thousands of times, I feel like, on this show, that they love Burkhead and they're going to use him differently because he can exploit linebackers and different sorts of things. And he adds balance to the offense. When Sony Michel's in the game, you know, there's a high likelihood the Patriots are running. When James White's in the game, there's a high likelihood they're passing. Burkhead has, I would say, closer to a 50-50 split than those two guys. So you're going to keep the defense guessing. And, again, he is like an Edelman type in the sense that depending on how you line him up or how you want to combine him with other guys, again, you can work him off of linebackers or safeties if you present the matchup favorably, and that's something McDaniels loves to do.
Looking at the other side of the ball, Jeff, when you look at the Patriots' defense, the Vikings have had issues this year with pressure getting to Kirk Cousins and pressure getting to the quarterback. How do you think the Patriots will try and generate that pressure?
Well, that's going to be probably the single most important thing in this game because the Patriots, when they win, they get a decent amount of pressure on quarterbacks. You saw it last week. I mean, I have, you know, I chart them by disruptions. And when they're in like the 19 to 20 category, which I think they've done four times this year, those have been their four best defensive performances. When they lose, they're not getting as much. I think their high in a loss is like 11 or 12. So, and as low as six in that Detroit game. So how their pass rush goes is how their defense tends to play. The other side of that is how Trey Flowers plays really goes a long way to that, too. I mean, two of their worst games in terms of pressure on a quarterback were weeks two and three when Flowers went out in the first series of that Jacksonville game, was inactive against the Lions. And he has had, I've charted, you know, these stats since 2015. I have eight disruptions in two of Flowers' last three games. I've never recorded eight disruptions from a player in the last four years until Flowers has started doing that. So if you can get Flowers into the backfields, which he actually surprisingly didn't do a lot of 2 weeks ago, that is a way to force Kirk Cousins to turn into a pumpkin.
Talking with Jeff Howe of The Athletic as we get set for Patriots and Vikings. Jeff, how would you grade Tom Brady's season at this point?
It's been good. It hasn't been, I mean, I think he's working through just the evolution of the offense. I don't know if that's a great way to put it, but
no, I think it is a good way to put it. It involves a couple, to me at least, a couple of players in particular being Gronkowski and Edelman.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a change there.
Yeah, you're right. Gronkowski has not been nearly the same player that we've seen. And Edelman, the suspension, the injuries. I mean, Edelman's been really good for the most part, but you know, I wonder if he has been at full strength because of the foot or the ankle or whatever he's sort of been dealing with off and on the last month. But aside from those two guys, and James White. James White's been outstanding. But, you know, trying to manipulate the offense without a fully healthy Gronkowski, whether he's been in or out, has been somewhat of a challenge. Trying to get Josh Gordon involved. And Gordon has been way, way better than I ever thought he would be. So that's a huge credit to him. But, you know, there have been times this season when Brady has sort of forced the ball to him. Not too often, but you see it from time and again. And then Chris Hogan, who has really been one of Brady's favorite targets over the last 2.5 years, caught more passes from Brady than anybody in training camp, has been sort of relegated to that fourth or fifth role on any given snap. So I think there have been a lot of cases where the offense is a little bit different than it was a year ago. And then, you know, the tackle situation, I don't think is getting enough attention because Marcus Cannon, LaAdrian Waddle has not been nearly as good as he was last year. Plays the sixth most snaps among offensive linemen this year and has allowed the second most pressure on Brady among the offensive linemen. That's not a good ratio. Last year he was dynamite as really your swing tackle. Marcus Cannon had a rough start. I think he's starting to get better. Trent Brown has been inconsistent. I mean, he's, for the most part, been pretty good, but he's not as good as Nate Solder was last year. So when Brady's been pressured, you know, you're sort of seeing him struggle a little bit more, obviously, like it does with everybody else. And then the injuries to the running backs have played their part as well.
I want to ask you about Danny Shelton, healthy scratch today. Is that a situation where it's sort of game plan specific because the Vikings aren't a great running team? He only had 9 snaps last week against the Jets, or is he sort of in a position where he is underwhelmed and underperformed based on, you know, what they paid to bring him in He came in with the fifth-round pick, and they gave up a 2019 third back to Cleveland to do that.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at Shelton yesterday in terms of the snap counts, and he's been, you know, pretty significantly not he's been maybe 10 fewer snaps a game than Malcolm Brown. And, you know, he's a first and second down player, but as Brown and Shelton go, so does the Patriots' run defense. Shelton's had some good games. He's had some games when they've gotten gashed up front, and Shelton and Brown are a big reason why. So I think this might be one of those. I mean, remember last year they had that wake-up call with Alan Branch.
Alan Branch.
2 years ago, I think it was, with Malcolm Brown. These things sort of, for some reason, they happen to the defensive tackles around December. Or maybe, again, Belichick's trying to kickstart him. But you look at the inactive list. Now you got Nate Ebner back in, so Keon Crossan is out. And then you've got Rex Burkhead in, so you've got to make a move somewhere else. And today it happens to be Danny Shelton. So it's not, obviously, you're not looking at a guy leapfrogging Shelton on the depth chart. It's just you're going offense for defense. And again, that's why I'm starting to think this has got to be a kick in the rear end to try to get him to play his best football down the stretch.
I'm just going to say, and I could be wrong, you chart it more than I do. Based on what they gave up, I think he's been a big disappointment.
He has.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think, and look, I know he's a run-stopping player first and foremost, but overall, when I look at their entire defensive tackle core, they don't generate enough pressure up the middle, and that's been one of their problems. And I know edge NFL matchup, all this other stuff, talks about the pressure they generate. They have a difficult time generating pressure up the middle unless they kick Trey Flowers inside or bring a blitz.
I agree. Just real quickly, he had a really good training camp, and he has not been nearly the same player we saw this summer.
Agree with all of that. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
See Jeff's work and coverage at The Athletic and also on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe.